What makes a difference in religions? What makes a difference in churches? What makes a difference in other denominations? Well, there are many, many religions in this world, and there's many, many denominations. There are many, many preachers. But there is only one way to heaven. If you believe that, say amen. This Bible that we hold in our hands is a book that has been given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is for the purpose, as Paul said, to teach us under the way of salvation. And in the book of Hebrews, I believe the Apostle Paul was the writer. It is not stated who wrote Hebrews, but that is not relevant. It doesn't matter who wrote it. If God Almighty had it pinned down and gave to us, and that is what the important part is. But I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, the whole book is written primarily to Hebrew Christians who had trusted the Lord as their Savior, but then they thought that they had to go back to holding to the Ten Commandments and had to go back to holding to the law. By the way, my friend, you cannot get saved by holding to the law. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. There is a price tag on your head, regardless of what you have been taught from a child, regardless of what your ancestors may have told you, regardless of what kind of church you grew up in. Bible said that the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it was by His blood that we are saved. And many, many churches today have and are getting away from the preaching of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that as long as I have breath, and as long as I have ability to preach, I'm going to preach the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other means whereby we must be saved. And in Hebrews and chapter number 10, out of respect for the Word of God, if you can stand it and not be a hindrance, I know some of it's hard to get up and down, and so you can sit down if need be. But in the book of Hebrews, and we'll preach just, I have three things I want to share with you this morning. And if you listen quickly, then I'll preach them quickly to you. But notice beginning in verse number 15 of chapter number 10, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant. By the way, can I stop there just a second? There is a grave difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract can be broken. A covenant cannot be broken. A contract depends upon two people. A covenant depends upon one person. And the Lord God Almighty has established a covenant through His precious Son. Now watch what He said. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I like verse 17. And He said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Aren't you glad that God will never pull them up and throw them in your face again? That what is under the blood stays under the blood. Friend, we are all imperfect people. But when we plead the precious blood, our sins are washed away. Say amen. Now go on. And He says there, In verse 18, now when remission of these is, there is no more offerings for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of the precious word of God. And Lord, we realize that nothing can be done without the Holy Ghost of God. I pray for that this morning. I pray it find lodging in the hearts of these people here that's hearing my voice. Lord, they've come out this morning for a reason. They're here for a purpose. God, there is no accident that they're here listening to this man, this preacher, try to proclaim the precious word of God. And I pray this morning that you'd hide me behind the cross, lift us up in heavenly places, anoint us from on high, give us the liberty that we need. In the name of Jesus, I bind Satan and plead the blood this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open, please. Now, what you see in verse number 19, here's what the Bible said, that phrase, the blood of Jesus. My friend, the blood is the most hated doctrine in all of the Bible by the devil and by the world. Beloved, today, the preaching of the blood is something that most people don't want anything to hear about, because the blood, as many folks have said, is a slaughterhouse religion. They don't want to mention about the blood. They want to hear about the good things, and they want to hear the encouraging things. They don't want to be reminded that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, was shed on Calvary's cross. And my friend, as we look into this morning, I want you to notice with me three things by way of introduction. Number one, look in verse 15. I find, first of all, there is the witness of the Holy Ghost of God. Bible said in verse 15, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. If you are saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Ghost of God inside of you. If you believe that, say amen. I mean, the day you got saved, the moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God came and took up his abode. He now lives. He doesn't dwell in this church house, but he dwells not in temples made with hands, but he dwells inside of the believer. And he is the one that will reprove of sin. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you, when you do something wrong, you feel guilty about it? I mean, if you lose your temper and you say something you ought not to, you slam a door, you get mad at your wife, kick the dog or whatever else, and you all of a sudden you get in a mad stupor, you get in a mad rage, but then after a little while you calm down and you say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have kicked old Blue. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have cussed. It's the Holy Ghost of God that did that. Amen? He will reprove you of sin. I don't have to go by and tell you if you do something wrong. The Holy Ghost of God. You know what? I've been around a pretty good while, and I've walked in places before, and I used to work construction. There ain't nothing I ain't never heard as far as cussing goes. I ain't done it, but I've heard it. And people, I walk in somewhere, and they may not know me, and they'll just be cussing a blue streak, and all of a sudden somebody will say, that's a preacher. And I wish I'd known that. I'd have cleaned my mouth up. I wouldn't have said what I did. Hey, you don't need to. I'm just flesh and blood like you are. But thank God there is one that you do need to be concerned about. Amen. He hears everything. But he will reprove the world of sin. Do you realize how many of you remember the day when you got saved? Lift your hand up. You remember the day you got saved. You remember where you was? I remember when I was 11 years old, sitting in New Baptist Church. I sat on the back pew where Brother Jessup sat. Me and Mama and Daddy, we'd sat there, and my sister and Miss Joanne. I had a little black Bible, just a little small Bible. And son, I would just sweat and perspire, and my hands get sweaty and clammy, and I'd get just this feeling of like my heart's going to bust out of my chest. You know what that was? That was the Holy Ghost of God. How many of you remember when the Holy Ghost of God arrested your soul? Say amen. I mean, son, he may not have knocked you down a flight of stairs, but you know when you got under Holy Ghost conviction. And beloved, without the Holy Ghost of God convicting a person, they will not and cannot be saved. It takes the Holy Ghost of God. Preacher can preach till he's blue in the face, but unless the Holy Ghost of God pricks your heart and convicts you of sin and draws you to the Savior, you'll never get saved. Here's the danger part. Turn back there to you're in book of Hebrews. Turn back to chapter 2, verse 15, would you please? Just a minute, and we're just, I don't know how far we get. I don't ever time nothing. I just write it down, and we go from there. We got dinner out yonder, so I'm not in a big hurry. I got to be in Mount Airy tonight, but we'll make it. Amen. By the way, Brother Jim White, celebrating 43 years of preaching. Won't you pray for the service tonight? He don't know a thing about it. He thinks he's a preaching, and I'm a preaching. Amen. All right, praise God. I appreciate Brother Jim. Y'all pray he was here Wednesday night. He ain't got a clue. Praise the Lord. But now I want you to see something. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 15, he said here, in Hebrews 2:15, Bible said here, and delivered him. And I done lost my place there. That's not the right verse. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm pulling a Don Harrell on you now. He said there in the book of Hebrews, and I'll find it in a minute, but he said that today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of, there it is, Hebrews 3:15. I knew at 5:30 this morning I should have had my glasses on. Hebrews 3:15. He said, well, he said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Beloved, can I just inform you of something? Every time if you sit in a church service and the Holy Ghost of God begins to convict your heart and begins to reprove you of sin and begins to reach down there and just pull you and draw you and say you need to get saved, don't turn him away, because he may not knock again. Amen. He may not knock again. This may be your last opportunity. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how good a health you're in. This may be the last chance you'll ever have to get saved. Today, today, today. Today, if you hear his voice. How many of you can hear me this morning? Raise your hand. Boy, if you can't hear me, crank me up again, Keith. If you can hear his voice and if the Holy Ghost of God convicts your heart, you know why he says today? Because as they said, yesterday is like a canceled check and tomorrow is like a promissory note. All you have is the present, right now, right here, right now. If you are not saved, you need to get saved. You may go out of this world very quickly. You may have all intentions of eating dinner out yonder. You may have all intentions of living next week. I was in the bookstore recently. I walked in the bookstore, and there stood a lady that I knew. I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we knew that we knew one another, and she had her name badge on. And I looked at her name badge, and it said Sally, and then it dawned on me, Joanne, who she was. Y'all probably don't know, but when y'all did that, when they did that little DVD for my 40th anniversary in the ministry, I was ordained 1983. I was at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church in Graham. I was called to preach in 1972, but I wasn't ordained until 1983. When you're ordained, you just go before a group of other preachers, and they examine you, and they ask you a bunch of questions, and if they feel like that you are a God-called preacher, then they'll stamp of approval on you. One of them asked me in my ordination service, they said, "What if we choose not to ordain you?" I said, "Well, sir, yeah, that's your choice, but that's not going to stop me from preaching. God's called me to preach," and that was the answer he was looking for. But at my ordination, there was another young man, same age I was. His name was Danny Wallace. And Danny was ordained the same night I was ordained. I went one direction, Danny went another direction. Danny pastored several different churches, and the last time that I saw Danny, his children were in the school that I was working in, and I talked to him in the mornings, and he was pastoring a little church outside of Graham. And so when I walked in the bookstore, I saw his wife standing there, and I said, "Sally, how is Danny?" And she said, "Frank, Danny died in February, 58 years of age." I said, "What happened?" She said, "We don't know." Said he was home by himself, and we found him out in the yard. Said either he had a massive heart attack or a stroke. But Danny died at 58. His son was standing behind the counter working in the bookstore. And I said, "I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, son, that begins to come home. I'm 57. You know what I'm saying to you today? Today, 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 if you'll hear his voice. Today, if the Holy Ghost of God knocks on your door. Today, if God begins to draw you. Today, if there's folk praying for you. And the Holy Spirit of God is inviting you to come and receive Christ today, today, today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow. Today, the witness of the Holy Spirit." Number two, look in verse number 20. There's the way of salvation back over there in Hebrews chapter number 10. There's the way of salvation. You say, "How is that, preacher?" Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 20. He says here, "By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say his flesh. A new and living way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." My friend, let me just throw this out at you. And you can do with it what you want to, but there are other religions today, there are cults today that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. There are people today that they say Jesus was a good teacher. In fact, some of them, some cults will say that Jesus and the devil were brothers at one time. And they don't believe that Jesus is the way unto salvation. They hold to the teachings of the Old Testament. They don't believe the New Testament. They don't believe that there's a hell. They don't believe that there's eternity without God. My friend, the Bible said that the Lord Jesus, he came down from heaven's glory. He slipped off the regal palaces of glory, came down, walked among the men, went to a rugged cross and died and shed his blood for you and for me. He is the way, the only way, the only way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy he saved us. The Old Testament, the priest would offer a sacrifice every day for the sins of the people. I'm so glad this morning that I didn't have to go out and find two turtle doves. I'm glad I didn't have to go and find a lamb and bring it and kill it today. I wouldn't have had time, amen. I mean, think about it, friend. What if this morning, if Jesus had not have died on the cross and we were still under the Old Testament, and by the way, we'd have been outcast anyway. We'd have been Gentiles and we were dogs. But this was for the Jews. But the Jews had to go out. I mean, every day, Josh, every day, they had to go out and get a sacrifice and bring it to the priest. Maybe a dove, maybe a lamb, maybe a goat, some animal. And the priest would take and cut its throat. throat and take a basin and catch its blood. And the priest would offer the sacrifice on the brazen altar. It was constantly burning with fire. Why? Because man after man, woman after woman, every time they sinned, they had to bring a sacrifice. It was a daily thing. But once and for all, the Lord Jesus went to Calvary. When he died in your place, in my place, the Bible said a new and living way through the veil of his flesh. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our sins was laid on him, and he became the sinless substitute. He was our propitiation. He was our sin offering. Third of all, notice in verse 22, notice he says there's the washing of regeneration. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look in verse 17, he's promised to wash us from our sins. What a privilege it is to know Christ. Look in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. There was a songwriter put it so well, what sins are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? Do you realize, as we sing about this morning, a new name written down in glory? The old songwriter said that the old account was standing of sins yet unconfessed. And in the books of heaven, my name was there. And every wicked, every vile, everything that I've done. By the way, friend, you say, well, preacher, I hadn't been so bad. You don't have to be real bad to go to hell. In fact, all you have to do is do nothing. We're born sinners. The Bible said, Romans chapter 3, that we're the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 3 says, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody in this room that is good enough to go to heaven. We all should die and go to hell if we got what we deserved. That's what we ought to have. But because of mercy and grace, God in his mercy put his son on the cross so that you didn't have to go to hell. He took your place. He took your place. That's only introduction, but I'll close. 1731, a man was born by the name of William, and he walked the streets of London, England at the age of 18. At 18, his daddy apprenticed him to be a lawyer. William did not really want to be a lawyer. While I'm telling you this story, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 25 in a minute. I'm done. I promise you. But I want you to hear this verse, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, in just a minute. William walked the streets of England depressed and discouraged. He did not care to be an attorney. He didn't want to be a lawyer, but his daddy had apprenticed him, and so he didn't really have a choice in the matter. But what he did have a choice about was his destiny, his life. William did not, he got so depressed that many occasions he tried to commit suicide. On one occasion, he got so depressed, they put him in an insane asylum. He got a little bit better. They let him out. He got depressed again. He tried to commit suicide. They put him back in there. He was in and out of the insane asylum on four different occasions through his life. Somewhere around when he was about 30 years of age, he finally decided that life was not worth living and he was going to end it all. He went down and bought poison and was going to take the poison to kill himself. And he, and in his own words, he had the poison in his hand, and as he went to put it into his mouth, his hand began to shake so bad he could not swallow the poison. Since he couldn't swallow the poison, he was determined that life was not worth living and that he was going to end it all, so he decided he'd hang himself. And he went, and they said he got some, they called it a garter. I'm not sure what they were talking about, but he got some rope and went to try to hang himself. Life was not worth living. put the noose around his neck and jumped. And when he did, he was unsuccessful. He still lived. Well, needless to say that any man like that, they say that he's not fit for society, and he could not live in a regular world, so they put him in an insane asylum. William Cooper was in the insane asylum. One day he walked by, and somebody had, they say intentionally, but he said he found a Bible laying on a bench while he was in the crazy house. He picked the Bible up and began to read it. The first thing he read was John chapter 11, where Jesus had walked out and spoke to dead Lazarus and said, "Come out of the grave," and he got up and come forth. And he said to himself, if Jesus has that kind of power to deliver that man from the dead, surely he has power that could deliver me. But still he was lost. Still he did not know Jesus Christ. But one day as he was reading the Bible by himself, he found this verse, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25. Would you read it along with me as I read it out loud? "For whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." William Cooper read that verse that day and he said to himself, if God has sent Jesus, and that word propitiation means a covering, if he sent him to be a covering for me, and notice what he said, for the remission of sins that are past. Hey, I could have a clean slate. I could have a new start. If what I read in this book is true, and if Jesus can do it, and by his blood, then he said, I want it. And he bowed his head in the insane asylum, and Jesus saved him. He got out of the insane asylum. He wrote poetry. You've heard the little poem, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." William Cooper wrote that. It goes on and on. But one poem that he wrote and was put to music is one that we're going to sing. Miss Joanne, would you come to the piano? For you see, William Cooper wrote about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote about a fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners, an old poor wretched man whose life wasn't worth living, who had come to the end of his rope and tried his best to kill himself, a man that was crazy by all means. Society would say, you're not decent to live with us. He sat down and wrote, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners can plunge beneath that flood, and they can lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there's though as vile as I can wash all my sins away. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.